Wait a minute, what am I doing? Two men in a what? Two friends from film school, one who graduated, one who did, and they decided to make a podcast. Okay, this has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
Yeah, we're anti-pregnancy, pro-Catholic.
Since when? Okay, first off, you can't be both. Second off, since when were we anti-pregnancy? To bring life into this universe.
Oh, I think
the ultimate like.
I don't like kids. I have nothing against people having kids. Current scenario aside, where maybe it's not the best thing to do. Sure. But like the concept of having a kid, whatever. I just don't like kids. I
thought this was. Oh, sorry.
I don't like very pregnancy. Sorry. I just don't like it.
Oh my goodness.
Just go for it. You learn to talk over them.
Yeah, we're on different tracks, so it works.
I thought that this was explicitly an anti-pregnancy podcast since the beginning.
I mean, I've always thought it was. I'm pretty anti. I don't like pregnancy. I think it's close to body horror. I think if I on a given day, if I had a choice between watching like David Cronenberg's The Fly or seeing a pregnant person, I would take The Fly every time. It's because that's on a screen. It creeps me out. Everything about it. And I think I could have made it better. I think if I were to design pregnancy, I would have done it better. Which is my main argument for intelligent design not being a thing.
How would you have designed pregnancy?
Okay, first off, cartilage hips.
Sure.
Okay, maybe it opens like a pelican's mouth and the baby just comes out.
Okay.
More stretchy stuff in the woman so that it doesn't like rip her body apart when it's growing.
Sure.
The organs shouldn't get compressed. Sure. There should be some expansion happening there. Maybe she gets a bit taller during pregnancy.
And then it shrinks down keeps the height?
As much as I like tall MILFs, I'll say it shrinks back down to the normal height.
So do you think it should be keeps the height during pregnancy age after you've had the baby and then shrinks in menopause?
I like that a lot. I like that a lot.
You seem to be making this scarier, though. Like, you literally just said that the hips open like a pelican's mouth.
Yeah, but I'm not saying that. That's the doctor's
job. How is that
job.
Not more scary?
Well, because it's all the, like, tearing. It's such a destructive thing. I think that, like, if a woman's like, oh, I'm having a baby in a restaurant now, and it's just blood ripping, you know, like, the flesh is tearing, and surgery has to be done. But if a woman's like, oh, I'm about to have my baby, there's no doctor, and she just opened her legs and a baby came out, like, it went whoop, like, her hips just expanded a bit, and it went, it'd be normal. We'd all be cool with it. That's how it would work.
Yeah, I guess if that's how it started from the beginning. If we're implementing this right now, that would be a nightmare.
I think it would be cool and everyone would like it because like the hips, her hips would just get slightly bigger. There's no tearing or ripping and the baby just falls out. It would look no different than someone like doing the splits or something, you know? Like,
I'm imagining Predator's mouth opening up.
No,
and letting a baby
no.
Out.
I was imagining just kind of like a horizontal movement where the hips just kind of open up a bit. There's like, they're stretching, but it's not like tearing.
So you still have dilation and expansion.
Yeah, yeah.
How long does labor last in your world? Is it instantaneous? Or is there time?
It's like a giraffe, like how the giraffe just like falls out of the mom. Same with horses.
Okay, but I'm guessing because
start to finish 5 minutes.
Okay, sure.
You know it's coming beforehand, but the whole process.
But then how would a doctor be able to get there in time?
Well, you know it's happening. You're like, oh, I feel it. My body's prepping for droppage.
So from droppage to baby is 5 minutes.
Yeah, but
how does a doctor get there in 5 minutes?
Well, I'm saying like you know it's coming. Like, the whole process of getting baby out, that's 5 minutes. But the body gets ready for that.
So that's, okay.
Yeah, there's more time there. You just, nothing's happened. It's just.
So it's labor and then the actual delivery.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I'm separating.
Why don't they just control it?
I think a woman could hold it in.
Oh, I'm going to have the baby, but I have full control. Yeah, that's, okay.
When? You'd still
I'm
need,
in now.
Yeah, I just don't trust.
Why don't we just have the baby on the outside of the body the full time?
Oh, that's cool. That's kind of like a Quado?
Would that strengthen people's pro-life argument, though? Not strengthen the argument, but strengthen their beliefs that they could literally see the thing.
No,
though.
Because I think more people would see the fetus, and they'd be like, oh, maybe there's they'd be like, that's not a person.
It'd be a lot easier to get rid of those guys, too.
Yeah.
If they were on the outside of the body.
Yeah, okay.
Abortion deaths go way down. Doctors go, okay.
It's like popping a pimple? No,
no, that's always taking it off.
Okay. Oh, well, the hand motion you did.
A doctor's not going to just like pinch it.
I was like, Jesus Christ, dude. This is an audio medium, purposefully.
Yeah, I'm dating this girl, and she's really into pimple popping videos and fetus popping videos. It's kind of fucked up.
I think there should be a way that you only get pregnant when you want to be.
Maybe there's like a little thing, something that like shows when the baby's about to come out, like a gate, a biological gauge of some sort.
Or like on your wrist, like a countdown.
On your wrist. I was thinking like on a tummy, maybe like there's a little like spot that when it's fully darkened, you're like, oh, the baby's about to, it's going to happen.
But yeah, I'm thinking like, I mean, we could almost
we know when we have to shit, right? We know when we're about to shit, but we're not shitting. So I think it's just a similar thing where it's like, I'm going to have this baby in like an hour.
But no, I'm thinking like in your perfect intelligent design pregnancy world, like humans should be able to like semi have like duck ovaries without the dark reasoning.
Yeah.
That like they could choose when they become pregnant more realistically. Like I know ducks have that because like
I think we're gonna go with that one senator's thing where it's not like they can choose to be pregnant, they can choose not to be pregnant.
Sure.
They can be like, nah, and like it just kills the sperm.
Shoot it back out.
They have really powerful,
you can reuse it. Okay.
Like it flushes, it's
okay. I like this idea.
Also, the baby comes out and it can crawl.
Also, three dudes discussing how to improve pregnancy is pretty cool. Is all
it's not problematic because
Chat, is pregnancy kind of chopped? Sorry, I'm bringing the Gen Z audience in.
It's not problematic because I'm the closest thing to God. Every day as we get closer to 2028 when I become God Emperor.
Okay.
As stated on this podcast. Everything on this podcast is truth. Welcome to the Two Men in a Movie podcast, where each week one man shows another man a movie he can't believe he hasn't seen. As always, I'm your soon-to-be giant worm God Emperor, Matthew Olenchek, joined as always by my loyal vizier. Now, you're going to be the Pope, right?
I'm going to be the Pope.
My future Pope of me, work husband Harrison Poole. And this week we are joined by our number one fan.
The Muad'Dib.
Philip the Muad'Dib, which makes him me his son. Because the worm, or grandson, something. Descendant.
I guess, in this situation, you would be my child.
Yeah.
I would be the Pope of your child. Anyway.
Philip watched as his wife opened her legs and I just dropped down and began to crawl.
All right. You picked, the guest always picks the movie. You picked the movie this week, Philip.
I picked Minority Report. One of the greatest films released in 2002.
I think it's weirdly named because there's only like one black guy in this movie.
Well, that's actually not what so the Minority Report, not the Sam Cedar.
There's two women
thing on YouTube. Is what they call. It's kind of plot relevant, actually.
It just dropped too. They don't really. They just kind of say it, like this is what it's called. And they move on.
Yeah, they say it and then they say it six times in the same scene.
Yeah, and they're like, just so you know what it is. So you're not like, what's the name about? I've only seen one black person.
Despite the fact that this movie is 2.5 hours long, it is pretty tight for the first 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Also, I just want to get this out of the way because, you know, I'm all about improving things, pregnancy, society, religion. I know it's not the best outcome for like what they want to do. They should have just, I feel like you'd lose a lot of the ethical problems with the program if you just arrest the person after the crime.
You lose the ethical problems because
then it's a deterrent. It's still, you're still going to get the meditated ones.
So it's a break a few eggs to make an omelet situation. You have to like let a dozen to two dozen people die for the long-term
the murder rate's
effective.
Still going
to
go way down if you know that as soon as you commit the murder, there's a cop waiting outside the house who's going to walk in like, you're under arrest.
But how many people think they're going to get away with it though? How many people have that like, not narcissism, but that like solipsistic, like I'm better than everyone kind of thing that they think they're going to be to get
that's
away with it.
That's pre-cox. I don't think they would be able to, or at least like come in when it's happening, you know?
I mean, he wasn't able to see Colin Farrell's death.
Stabbed her once
Danny Whitwer.
Danny Whitwer.
The best character in the movie.
He's really good.
He's really good.
Stabs her once with scissors. They come in. You're trying to murder this woman. That's a crime. It doesn't have to be murder. Haul her away. Just EMT is already here. Yeah, but
then they can't halo them and trap them in some sort of mind prison forever. For the rest of their life.
It's very questionable.
So, I have been on record that I am not the biggest sci-fi guy. This, to me, is, like, my favorite kind of sci-fi.
Cyberpunk?
I mean, cyberpunk. But, like, to me, I've said, I don't know if I've said this on the pod, but to me, Looper is perfect sci-fi.
You've said this on the pod.
Because rules don't matter. Like, they matter just enough for them to be plot relevant, but, like, you don't have to do tons of research to understand, like, the lore of the world. It's truly just, like, these people, they're drug addict children. They see the future. Like,
I mean, I think, again, I'm always batting for it. I think it's the same with Dune the movie. The spice gives you visions. Why? Because it's from a worm. They don't explain shit in that movie.
Yeah, but this one's even more, like, on the surface level, so shallow.
Yeah.
It's like, this is, like, the epitome of a dad movie.
Like,
they're like, plant woman did science. Plants are living. People are living. So it's cross. It works. And now they see the future.
Yeah.
But only when they're dreaming, except also when they're awake. And then it becomes Next, my favorite Nicolas Cage movie, which will be brought to this podcast.
Okay. Yeah, this movie rips. Also, this movie was made directly before 9/11. And it's so weirdly prescient of, like, what a post 9/11 world was going to turn into.
It kind of is, like, about the kind of, I don't know how to say this, like, the loss of liberties in a lot of ways.
The Patriot Act.
It really is. In a way that, like, I've said this, but, like, 28 Days Later is the same thing, that even though it was made before 9/11, it feels like it was made, like, in 2 weeks after. Like, it has that, like, weird, like, nihilistic rage. And maybe I just don't remember, but there was something brewing in the world at that time.
Really, a very popular book around that time period was The End of History, which said, we did it. There's no more war or conflict. We solved everything.
Something was in the water that they were able to just predict that one of, if not the greatest national tragedy to happen on U.S. soil, was going to happen. And all of the art released immediately.
I assume they were, like, pessimistic, and they're like, it's been too good for too long. Something's got to happen.
Music around that same time, similar, like Wilco's Yankee Hotel Foxtrot was released in 2002, but it was finished in early 2001, but was just put on hold for over a year. And, like, that album feels like reckoning with a post 9/11 world, and it's so weird.
Is that one of those underground bands?
Wilco?
You don't know Wilco?
It's one of those underground bands you listen to?
Oh, shut up. No, okay.
I don't think Wilco.
So he has an ex-coworker. I have a coworker who is convinced that I listen to the most underground music in the world because the only band he ever listens to is Shinedown.
To be fair, a solid choice.
Sure, but it's the only band he listens to. And so anything that's not Shinedown or Blink-182 is the most underground shit in the world.
I don't even know what Shinedown is, and I don't know if that is, like, aging me. Someone says that, I would say, like, is that one of your underground bands?
Shinedown was like Creed adjacent. They're like that era where everyone's
post-grunge.
Yeah. What's their big song? The one where it's like, I just saw Haley's comet, she waved. So why are you always running in place? That one?
Yeah, okay. When
everyone's saying like that?
Honestly, that's...
So on peak.
We might be able to legally get away with that. It sounds so different from the original
version. I think we're going to get flagged because that's perfectly how he sings it.
Okay, but...
It's like everyone was like with Creed, with like, with arms wide open!
Anyway, so...
2002 rocked, man!
Minority Report. Why were we? Oh, that this is a. This was made directly before 9/11, but feels like the most post 9/11.
The movie coolest in the world. Time period is seeing this movie and remembering Shinedown exists. We used to be a country.
This is what they took from us.
This is what they took from us. Like all these fucking Gen Alphas and the youngest Gen Zs don't remember how good things used to be. Now they got fucking Lamadoos. And TikToks.
Are you talking about Labubus?
Yeah, Lamadoos, TikToks, the Jonas Brothers.
Tinder.
Labubus, is that what it's called? Labubu?
Yeah, Labubu.
Apparently you can order on the website, and as soon as, it's like a blind box, but as soon as you order it, it tells you which one you got.
That's lame.
Well, that way, if you didn't get the one you want, you'll buy another blind box, and then it'll tell you if you got it or not, yeah. And if you buy like three, it'll give you a guarantee of one.
Oh.
Have you not seen these things?
No, I don't want to right now. This is so...
I'll just keep talking. I'll just show you pictures.
Speaking of Labubus and how horrible they look, check that out. I'm basically a natural. I want to address the elephant in the room. This is the ugliest movie ever made.
It's hideous.
It looks so bad. Like, every second that you watch this, it's like, it shouldn't have... They should have done better, but I actually like it. Like, it is genuinely horrible looking.
Do you see?
It's like
Teletubbies. Do you see?
It's like Teletubbies without the television in the tummy. Cool. Yes, I agree with you, Phil. This, I don't know if it was
I like you. It because it looks like it's from a music video of the era.
Yes, it looks like this should have been a 3-minute music video.
Critically,
that was stretched into an almost 3-hour
critically
movie.
I cannot condone this, but as a fan of that era, this looks like a Shinedown video.
The first scene, you don't even see his face. Like, you cannot see him because everything else is so bright.
It feels like J.J. Abrams saw this movie and took all of the wrong lessons.
It's like a Michael Bay, like, Bloom thing, like the, what are those called?
The lens flares?
Yeah, the lens flares just everywhere.
That's how you know it's the future. I understand what they're going for. They're trying to be like, this is the high-tech utopian future where murder doesn't happen in Washington, D.C.
But it's also like everything is super bright, so you still can't see anything as if it was super dark.
Now, see, I watched it with my sunglasses on. So
like,
that would be helpful.
This is a visual, like, it is a visual metaphor. Like, he did it for a reason, and the reason works. This movie is hideous. Yeah. And I don't care.
Also, like, the technology in this movie is so stupid in such a fun way. There's a weapon you see once, and I do not understand what its purpose is.
Oh, the sick, because
it doesn't seem to work. Like, it works, but it doesn't, like, stop the guy from fighting. The sick stick, like, he just throws up and then he's fine.
Well, I assume it's because everyone, when they're doing that, that's when they slap you with the halo. It's
That makes sense.
Because they have the boom, sonic boom sound force guns later that are actually, like, super effective. I assume they'd use that if, like, there's actual, like, conflict. That's what cops who aren't these people use.
And their magazines are, like, flimsy plastic holograms instead of, like... They would just be on iPads.
No, it's cyberpunk, like, as shit.
I think they would be moving images, but they would just be on iPads.
Well, in the cyberpunk setting of the RPG, they don't have that. They do have the flimsy things. You go to, like, a machine and you say which news you want, and then they, like, put out, like, a holographic paper that has it loaded on, and then you just throw it away because it's the future and everything sucks. And the litter's cool.
But it changes. This is, like, such a stupid nitpick, and it's why I enjoy it. But that guy is reading the newspaper in the scene on the subway, and then it changes to, like, show that John is running away or whatever. But if you were reading that and it changed, imagine how mad you would be.
I mean, I think that's a metaphor for 9/11. That's what 9/11 was like. Like, I was in English class reading, and then a teacher came in and just turned on the television, and 9/11 was happening. It's the idea of tragedy suddenly being shown to you against your will.
The cars look stupid and dumb. The roads look really dumb. There's new drugs in this world called Neurowin.
Yeah, they invented the vape. They predicted the vape.
They did. That's actually kind of true. Except for these vapes, do we know what Neurowin does? Is it just like heroin?
My guess is it's heroin more for the brain than the body.
I was picturing like gas station weed gummies.
I mean, I'm guessing it's some kind of, well, we see a I don't know if it was Neuroin exactly, but we see a version of when he, like, inhales the pill. So I assume it's something, it was, like, something like that.
Hey, yeah, but is he, like, when he does that and he's watching those videos, is he, like, does it make the connection closer? Like, is it more realistic to him watching these weird 3D videos?
I think he's on the just drug? Tripping. I think it just makes it really cool because you're so fucking high and there's like there's your wife you don't see anymore.
Well, I don't think it's tripping. I mean, it is. I think it's more like, yeah, it just takes him out of his body. I mean, it's what heroin does to people. It like takes you out of your physical experience completely so that you don't have to think about anything going on.
Speaking of the videos and his like memories on the drugs and stuff, when he was yelling Sean, I'm not sure if either of you have played it. All I could think of was Heavy Rain.
I honestly completely forgot about that his son's name was Sean. I don't know how.
There's a guy who makes like narrative games. He made like the Detroit Become
Sean.
Human. Yeah, you press like X and you're looking for your son. You go, Sean. It says press X for Sean. You go, Sean. I was like, oh my God. This is where you got it from?
There was a Letterboxd review that described this as what if Heavy Rain was good. So So like it makes sense. Okay.
Does his son in Heavy Rain go missing in a at a public pool?
There's a lot of water involved. It's not a pool.
Well, that checks out.
Because he puts them in like a hole in the ground, and then it rains, and they drowned.
Have we even? I mean, I don't know if people are able to like put it together. Have we even kind of said the plot of this movie?
Oh, the plot of the movie is that a man gets set up for murder, but they predict murder in the future.
Yes.
He's a cop.
He's running from the cops. He is a cop before the murder happens. And him knowing that the murder is going to happen is what sets into place the murder happening.
And it's all predicted by three teenagers who's looked over by what I can only describe as a Discord mod.
Yeah, he's creepy.
He 100% calls them kitten.
I really like the scene where he is like, Johnny, you've always been nice to me. I'm going to give you 2 minutes before I sound the alarms. And then when John comes back, but he's got the paralyzed face and he's like, oh, hi, John. Everyone in this movie plays their parts like almost perfectly. And it just comes together in such a nice way.
I know. I love that he gets creepier as it goes on.
That I think Danny Whitworth is the perfect example of that. Where the beginning of the movie, you hate him. One, because he's a Fed. Immediately, yeah. You hate the Feds. But two, because he's an asshole. And then by the end, you're like genuinely upset.
It turns out he's actually like a good cop and a good cop.
Yeah.
He's an amazing at his job. And he's actually like, you know what? Presented with the evidence, I was completely wrong. We need to stop chasing him. Something else is going on.
I mean, that emphasizes the whole point of this movie is that, like, you have the choice. Like, if you know the outcome, then you can, to a certain extent, like, choose a different outcome.
Yeah.
Danny does it without really trying. Lamar does it. And John does it. Like, all three of them build this whole thesis. I like it a lot.
Did John kill Crow though?
Crow killed himself.
Crow killed himself with John's gun because Crow needed to die for his family to be okay.
Yeah, I just like I didn't know. I guess because he says the line and then, but the timer was off. I'm saying like, is the precognition what actually happened, or did he change it just like ever so slightly?
I think he changed it ever so slightly. Yeah. I think I don't know if it was purposeful or not, but I do think there is a certain like he changed the outcome because he was playing along with the cognition, he didn't change it enough that like it just delayed the inevitable.
Yeah. And then Lamar shoots himself. There's a lot of suicide in this movie.
Yes. Lamar shoots himself because he can't live in a world where he was wrong. That's an oversimplification of what happened, but that is what happened.
Yeah.
Like, he would rather die and not see his world, his legacy fall apart than live and like, or and then live and watch his legacy fall apart. Like, his... It's weirdly framed as this like heroic act, but when you break down what actually happened, it's a very selfish thing.
Yeah, he's because he couldn't live with his legacy being secure, but he's bad.
So he would rather die and be bad.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, all of the cops and Lamar try to frame it as this like huge sacrifice he made, but he didn't make any sacrifice. Like,
I think only he tries to frame it as a sacrifice.
Maybe.
Because he kills himself and immediately we get the epilogue.
John has the look, he's trying to portray visually. And at the end when he's like, everything is shut down, he didn't like at all mention that like this was evil from the jump. Like, John truly kind of tried to frame it as like, this man made this great sacrifice, or at least that's how maybe it's because even to the end he can't let himself believe that his mentor was like a truly evil person.
Yeah. I mean, he's truly evil. I mean, like, super evil.
He keeps women in his basement. He keeps a teenage girl in his basement.
Oh, that's not his basement. Yeah, it's, but they he have three teens in a tub.
That is, that's his precinct.
he's like the guy who's like in charge of it all.
He's the one who created the precog program. Yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean he owns the building.
Well, it's effectively his basement.
Lives in it.
If I create a business and I'm still talking to everyone in the business and like I'm still involved, like I'm about to give a public speech on the business, and then they find women in the basement of that business, I think you can say they found women in the bottom of my business.
There's only one woman, actually.
You can't tell her you have a head shaved.
She's the most gifted. Hey, if they spread it to the entire United States, which is a major plot point of the movie, are there going to be more precogs, or is it just going to be the three?
That is a good question. Because they don't show the ability to make more. No. It's implied that it's kind of a genetic accident.
That they're the children of neuroanatics. Yeah. So I think he was just planning on getting a bunch of people addicted, a bunch of
and
pregnant
women. And
hoping
it turns out the same way.
Yes.
Because you're 100% right. Otherwise, it's literally going to be like, fuck, go, bloop, 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 just thousands of balls coming out.
He was just going to create pregnant drug addicts.
Like, they barely got to that murder in time. Now they have to fly to like Los Angeles.
Yeah. So
alternatively, since they have a 4 days heads up, they just say, you know what, crimes of passion, we just can't touch those. We just don't have the response time. We only stop premeditated murders.
But it seems like a proximity thing, because they're like on an isolated place at the end. So like, I kind of thought that they could only see that area. I just don't understand.
There's a lot of logistical questions here.
So would it just be major metro? They would just set up, hopefully they would get a bunch of drug addict pregnant women and set them up in major metropolitan areas? Or would every police force get one?
What I know from watching Fox News is that crimes only happen in cities. So that'd probably work out. There's no crime outside cities.
Oh, true.
Which has tons of it.
Yeah, that's so fair.
Yeah.
Does Danny, like, Lamar says it, does Danny actually, you think, want John's job?
I think he wants to be involved with what's going on because he's part of the Justice Department. Outside of that, I don't think he's like, give me your specific desk, no.
Okay, then there's also that scene where he sits at John's desk and that one cop is like, hey, that's John's desk.
Which is wild, because he's like the most wanted man in the city.
Yeah, he'll be back. Okay.
Your supposedly infallible system just said he's going to murder someone, and he's going to go to the thought prison.
Also, your infallible system didn't predict, like, I know it's because he created the system and messed with the system, but it didn't predict Danny Whitworth's death. That's, anyway.
Well, it didn't predict Danny's because they were missing a precog.
Because it was a crime of passion and Agatha was gone.
Yeah.
That's why Lamar is like, I don't hear any spiders. I don't hear...
I like the spiders. I like that little technology thing.
Coming down. I don't hear anything. You know why? And he's like, what are you talking about, dude? And he's like, because their precogs can't see anything right now. and then he shoots him.
So, I mean, it makes sense that it was a crime of passion. In my head, it was premeditated, which made it make less sense. Like, I know it was instant, but in my head, Lamar had just, like, planned this whole thing.
No, because Lamar had no idea that he knew the thing.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's, yeah. I guess I gave the villain more credit than the
No, he did, like, one really smart thing, and everything else, he's like... And that was, like, years ago.
Yeah, and he was just... He's flying by the seat of his pants until then.
The events of the movie is him going, oh, man.
Yeah, I guess I just thought the villain was smarter than he was.
No.
Do we think that that lady that she said don't go home to, you think that that lady was about to get murdered?
Or beaten, maybe. Precogs don't stop domestic abuse.
I think she says he knows don't go home. See, I took it as he's going to leave you, not get murdered, but that's like, you know what? That's way too innocent for them to see. The thing is, I took this movie either way too innocently or gave it way too much street cred. But yes, you're probably, when you mention it, yes, you're probably right.
Also, shouts out, we haven't talked about him. Shouts out to the eye doctor. Very considerate man.
Yeah, dude, that scene is the only scene that when he wakes up and he goes to eat that sandwich, I have to, like, close my eyes.
It's unfortunate it turned out that way for him, but they did make him, like, a sandwich.
And good milk.
And good milk. They made him, like, a nice... That sandwich is a good-looking sandwich.
It was a good... Is it top five of the pods?
I think it's up there. It's, like, a really good sandwich, and he gives him, like, a goodie bag of free drugs. This eye doctor's, like...
Well, he paid for the drugs.
No, he gives him the free...
Also, he has every reason to eat John.
Yeah. I mean, he swore a Hippocratic oath.
Yeah, he, like, for a shady doctor, he's really good.
He had to treat him as if any other patient.
He's like, he's legitimately, like, because so often in these movies, when you get, like, the shady doctors, they're like, I'm going to fuck you over somehow, or I'm bad at my job. No. And this guy's like, no, I sterilized all my equipment. You're not going to get any fucking infections. I'm good at my job. I made you a sandwich. You can stay at my place till you can see again. Here's a timer. So here's some things to get you to the bathroom. Maybe you have to go.
I love that for the rest of the movie, he has, like, visually different eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't change. I mean, he loses them, obviously, but he doesn't change them back. Yeah. He just, like, he has a stranger's eyes forever.
He has Asian eyes now.
Yeah, he does.
This movie's also, like, has a lot of really good funny moments, which I think is good, because Tom Cruise can be really funny. He's really good at bringing, like, the small funny moments in an action movie. Like, when the eyes are rolling down the ramp, he's like, no, no, God, no, no. Like, Tom Cruise is funny.
He runs in a funny way in that Tropic scene, Thunder. Too.
Tropic Thunder, if anything, showcases how he's like, really good at comedy.
Okay, I don't like him in Tropic Thunder at all.
You don't like him in Tropic
not
Thunder?
Not even, kind of, and that's not a discussion I want to get into. I actually don't like Tom Cruise generally. I find his acting style very annoying, but he is excellent in this movie. He's one of those that, like, 90% of the time I can't stand him, and then 10% of the time I'm like, I understand why people think he's the greatest actor
alive. I like how I get texts about my hot takes on this podcast. No one ever thinks, here's it has a ton of hot takes. They're just movie related, so they seem reasonable compared to me saying, like, Casey Anthony's hot and I don't care if she murdered a child.
No, dude, I can't defend you on that one. I want to stand here and say, like, oh, that I agree with Matthew on everything. But I listen, I wanted to agree with you. I looked her up and I just could not.
You got to remember, I'm older. She's closer to me in age. So, yeah.
Okay,
I appreciate the effort made, though. So I got a text last night. Someone's like, I just got to this episode. What the fuck? I'm like, what did I say? Oh, no, 100%. She's banging, dude.
For a man who has so many running sequences just in this movie, but in his entire career, the man runs so goofy. Like, the man doesn't run like a normal human. And then the fact that he teaches his kid how to run.
He runs fast.
And
he's
kid
fast.
Runs goofy.
It's working.
Okay.
Tom Cruise is, like, really fast, actually.
No, you have to put your
knees
up.
5'4". He's aerodynamic.
But he has shorter legs. Okay. So people don't run faster because although they go through the air quicker, they have tinier legs.
No, he's got that Conan O'Brien build. He's all legs. 5'4".
Your son is running track at university. He gets a girl pregnant. He's asking her to marry him.
At 23, right? That's when they have the baby.
I'm gonna start saying I'm a precog and finding grieving parents and just telling them about how their dead kid would be knocking someone up.
They need to re-release this movie in 2 years for the 25th anniversary because I need to hear Agatha scream run. I think it will change me.
you heard it.
Right, but like
you want like an IMAX.
I want it in IMAX.
That's like I get it because like the worms in Dune I think are really good audio effects, but in IMAX it changed me. Being there as the worm,
we
couldn't drive home for a bit after the movie because we'd been so wormed by the IMAX experience.
I think listening to Agatha be like, John, you have to run. You have to run. just screaming it. I will be a different person. I'll be a better person.
She's a real one, by the way, Agatha.
Yeah.
She's a bro. Takes her out of her wet pod and she's like, I'll help you all the time.
I like that when she says, is it now?
Yeah, that's a really good line. That's a really good line. That's a haunting line.
This movie is so goofy in premise that it almost has to take itself so seriously. You need like human moments like that for this movie even to like stand a chance.
Now there's a woman that knows when she's going to be pregnant.
Yeah, I mean probably never, right?
I don't know. Maybe she finds someone.
No, they're secluded forever to avoid the visions.
They're secluded then. Maybe they find a lover, yeah.
And
they always drop one doctor, just in case.
Yeah. This movie suffers, if it suffers at all, it suffers from the late era Spielberg problem of it ends four times. With that being said, every ending rules. And so I'm so happy. Like, every ending.
What are the two other endings? Tell me all the endings.
He gets haloed.
Getting haloed and then having a different epilogue. But like getting haloed could have been the dark ending. Him shooting himself and then immediately cutting could have been the ending. And then the epilogue could have ended twice. He had two separate epilogues. Each of those could have been their own.
Yeah, no, he knocked his wife up.
Agatha
told him.
It doesn't bother me. I think it's just because the first 2 hours and 15 minutes-ish of this movie is so tight that the last 15 minutes feel rushed.
He called Agatha. He's like, when do I fuck my wife to have a kid? She's like, August 18th at 2 p.m. If you come then, a baby will be made.
Okay. Anyway, that's.
I like the message. You can just replace your dead son with a new kid. That's.
No, aggressive. They're not replacing. They're not replacing Sean.
That's how I read
they're
it.
They're building a hope for the future.
Yeah, by replacing their dead son.
No, they're not replacing their dead son.
Move on.
They're having another child as a symbol of like them
not like, having a dead kid.
Oh my God, you're so annoying. You're so on this particular topic only. It's only about kids that you get this obtuse about. It's so annoying. Maybe it's just because I care about kids too much and I love kids. But it's not about replacing their dead kid. It's about rekindling and a hope for a future. Listen,
with a living kid.
Yes, but it's not to replace their dead. Listen, I have my own issues with having children, and like I don't know what blah blah blah. But like I can admit that. Like it is an act of defiance, and it is an act of defiant hope.
I like when you get this heated about kids, and you're like, "I love kids," and then you raise your hand like you're like a Baptist preacher, like talking about the glory of God. You can't see it though, but he has his hand up like a Baptist preacher.
In many ways, it is representative.
Like, I love kids. Okay. I love kids.
Listen, I don't know if I want to be a dad. I do eventually plan on leaving Geneva for a celebrity single mom and becoming a stepdad, but that's not for like
which celebrity.
We don't know
celebrity
yet.
Single moms?
There's going to be.
There's got to be one. I just don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they're not single moms for long because people swoop
technically
in.
Casey Anthony's
Kelly
a single
Clarkson.
Mom. Kelly Clarkson would be a good pick.
Anyway,
I like her music a lot.
Anyway.
Dude, you should totally leave Geneva for Kelly Clarkson. That'd be rad as hell.
So anyway, I love kids and I hate when you get like this. This is end point. End of my end. I'm done. Goodbye.
Do you guys think it's kind of weird how they replace Sean at the end?
Philip, no.
I think it's progressive. I think it shows that they've healed because they were so hung up on their dead kid, but then they realized that they could replace him, which shows that it's the character growth.
It's not about replacing
you're right. The kid. Matthew, you're actually right. Like a defiant.
Yeah, he's let go of the past. Right. He's let go of the past in a defiant moment of hope, realizes he can replace his kid and have
it's
a future.
It's not about now. You're so close, and I know you're doing it on purpose just to wind me up. But like,
I mean, Philip agrees with me. You're outnumbered here. I think we're right. I think that you seeing this as like a bad thing is not hopeful. It's kind of weird.
No, I'm seeing it as hopeful. I'm seeing it as the moving forward because they feel like they've healed, that they can try again. Knowing,
with a new kid.
Sure, with a new kid, not replacing their old one. And at no point is the argument that this will be a new child. Like, actually, that's exactly the argument. This will be a new child.
Yeah, old child.
Yeah, but what if they name it Sean but spelled the other way?
What if they just name it Sean but spelled the exact same way?
I will personally go to Steven Spielberg's house and punch him in the face.
And then they show all the videos and like, this is you.
Move on. Pick another topic. Figure out something else you want to talk about this movie. I'm so annoyed right now. I love kids and I hate when you get like this.
Yeah, she's pregnant at the end.
And you know what's upsetting? She's not just going to open up like a pelican and the baby's going to drop out.
Seriously.
It's going to be gross.
We got to figure this out.
They should give me $1 billion.
To rewrite human genetic code?
No, to pay people. Was that? I think that was Epstein who was doing that, right? Was Epstein the guy who was like giving billions of dollars to like Harvard people?
Yeah, the island?
No, not the island. Like it was one of his side projects where he was spending,
Harvard. I thought you said Harbor.
No, Harvard. Like,
yes, he was getting paid billions to Harvard.
Where he was
people.
Like trying to create a super child.
Sure, probably.
I want that to be me, but without the kids.
If in any world they could make the Pelican situation happen, it's this movie.
We don't see birth. It might happen in this movie. I like to imagine it does.
Yeah, that's true. We never see anyone give birth in this movie, so we can't rule it out.
We see death, but no new life. Yeah.
We don't see the tummy kind of move forward as the baby slides out. It's like, boop!
Okay. Go watch it. There's a lot of people who die in this movie. I'm going to spoil every death right now. So, let's see. Danny Whitworth gets... shot by Lamar Burgess, and then at the end Lamar Burgess shoots himself because his empire is about to crumble. And who else dies? Let's see.
I think Sean technically dies.
Well, Sean definitely he dies, but it's kind of left ambiguous. Crow dies for sure.
You see a vision of that one woman dying.
Ann
Lively dies. The woman in the beginning of the movie.
But she doesn't actually die.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's the whole premise of the movie, that she doesn't.
Do you have any thoughts, Matthew?
I think with some tweaks you could make the system work, but I would have to do it. I think I could make it work.
Okay. Did you want to do
something? Don't kidnap children.
Yeah, that should be your closer. Yeah.
Be a 9-to-5. I think if the precogs were 9-to-5, you'd need six of
them.
Oh,
then it'd be okay.
You need six of them, though, because some of them would have to be like 5 to 9.
Yeah.
Or three shifts. So you need 9 precogs to create a rotating shift system of precogs.
Clocking in for my precog job.
We see like all the precog cops. Who's doing when they're asleep? We don't see a night
shift.
But
they explicitly say that you would have to get a bunch of women drug addict pregnant. But
easy.
The plant lady also says that they're the only 3 survivors.
Yeah.
So
you need to get a lot of
them. So not only are you getting a lot of drug addict women pregnant, you're expecting 90% of the kids
to die.
That's
a sacrifice I'm willing to make for this country.
You're expecting Oregon Trail level death.
Yeah.
In 2054.
Yeah.
Wait, do we know this place takes place in 2054?
It's around then. It says, okay. It says in the beginning, it says the date.
I have the short story. I just never got around to reading it. But this is a Philip K. Dick classic.
So let's get some Harlan Ellison on the screen too. Let's just start adapting their works. Right. I mean, I wrote
Asimov, right?
Yeah, Asimov. That's Asimov, yeah. He wrote... to Android's Dream of Electric Sheep, which is Blade Runner.
That's what I was thinking of, yeah. If you want to follow us on Instagram, Two Men Movie Podcast, at Instagram, what's .com. Don't do that. That won't take you anywhere you want to go. If you want to email us, no, I have no fan fiction bounties for this week.
No, I mean, I didn't think you would. Yeah. I think
if you're going to put in the effort to make me...
If you want the pre-caw...
If you're going to write Matthew X Tom Cruise's wife, I'll give you $1 for your effort. But okay. It's been no need, no, by no means wanted. We now have a store with merch.
We do?
Yeah.
See, this is shit that you need to keep me informed.
I thought I messaged you.
You did not.
I swear to God, I told you we had a store.
No, you said that you got drunk and bought a new logo.
Yeah, I bought a new logo and we have a store.
Oh, is this the Walrus?
Yeah, the Walrus. You can buy our show logo or the much superior Drunk Matthew Making a Purchase Walrus.
Listen,
logo on a t-shirt.
Agree. I think that the Drunk Walrus works better as a merch drop than it does for the official logo, because it has nothing to do with the show.
We're all about walruses.
Okay. Since episode one, this has been a...
That's Marvin the movie
explicitly
walrus.
Explicitly pro-walrus.
Oh, so we're just... podcast. We're just creating a mascot character now.
Yeah. He's Marvin the movie walrus. He says, come watch movies with me, Marvin.
So
eat up my popcorn, child, and enjoy a movie.
Anyway, but we have a store now, apparently. Matthew doesn't tell me shit.
I'll put the show link in the description. It's also... because Redbubble's website URL is terrible. You go to redbubble.com/people/TMMP-store. You can buy our logo. There's three versions of it because you had to have six designs and I only had two. So I made one grayscale and one negative.
You're insane.
So you can buy our show logo normally, negative grayscale. The walrus normally, negative grayscale. No, it's five. So you can only buy the walrus in grayscale. There's no negative walrus. He's only good. And there's like mugs too.
Yeah.
If you want to find me, you can find me at Midwest_Magician, where I just post plastic men, really.
You can find me on Instagram, Threads, TikTok, and Lemonade at HarrisonPool.com, HARRISON.
Oh, YouTube, Two Men and a Movie Podcast.
HARRISONPOOLEDOTCOM, HarrisonPool.com. Follow me on Letterboxd at HDPOOLE124.
I also made a store for Harrison merch. You can find it at pool-merch on Redbubble.
I hope to God that's not true.
Just shirts with your face on.
Philip, where can they find you?
You can find me on pretty much everything by looking up my name, Philip Arledge. That's Philip with one L. And you can find me on Letterboxd with my gamer tag, which is Freaks and Geeks. But instead of spelling Freaks and Geeks normally, it's EKES for both of those words.
Just like Timothy Chalamet, better known as Master Controller 360.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Tristan Hostetter for our theme music. Listen to his bands, Natural Health and Tonight with Vince. Thank you, Philip, for doing this, for real. I heard that Ethan texted me that you didn't know that you were going to do this before I asked you, because I asked Matthew to message you and then he straight up didn't.
I don't remember you asking me that.
And so I kind of thought that he did. But thank you for agreeing to do this.
No, anytime. Anytime you need a third man.
Awesome.
What was I about to say? Oh, whatever the ads that played during this episode were, buy them. I was going to say don't buy them, I don't.
Listen to all our ads, buy our Walrus t-shirt, buy Marvin.
Yeah.
You all know Marvin, you love Marvin, he's been here since day one.
It's actually pretty cool because Matthew doesn't text me to tell me that I'm going to be on the podcast, but he will when he makes a new logo.
Yeah, I didn't like, do you like the Walrus? It's contentious.
It wasn't contentious. I like the Walrus. Anyway, not the point. Thank you guys for listening. Tune in next week for Mel's return. We're going to watch X-Men First Class, the only other movie she's seen.
Oh, let's go. I just watched that.
I have not seen it.
It's the only
movie
she's ever seen.
Is so good.
All her references. She thought Gary Oldman was Francis Bacon. This is a recurring issue she she has.
Anyway.
And she once named an actor, and I couldn't figure who it was, and I just looked through the cast list of First Class because I knew he was in that movie.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Tune in next week. So long and good night.
Hugs and kisses.
Oh, and just like a Spielberg movie, this podcast has ended 3 times.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.